Now, the title of this book will grab you. It is Faith, Purpose, and Politics, Running the Race of My Life. Immediately, I was captivated. Tell me about how you chose your title.
Oh, you know, I don't think I chose this title. It just came to me, and because I know I was in the race of my life.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. You know, I don't make New Year's resolutions, but I just always am very intentional about being better than I was in the previous year and things being better than they were in previous years. So I always come into the new year very optimistic, encouraged, excited, because again, we got a whole nother year, you know, prayerfully, that we all have a whole nother year, a whole new day, and we still have an opportunity to get it right. So I come into the new year again, excited, encouraged, optimistic about what's to come. And, you know, 2024 is, for those of us, this is reaching across the aisle. Reaching across the aisle is an initiative that came out of my 2022 campaign to the United States Senate, where we saw so many discrepancies. And we're going to get into that tonight about where election integrity is, particularly here in Georgia. So many discrepancies in the voting and in the numbers and in the races. And it was not just on one side. It wasn't just the Democrats. It was Republicans that were saying the same thing. Like, wait a minute, these numbers don't look right. And I know it was no way in hell my numbers was right. And I knew it. When I saw those numbers, I just said, oh my gosh. When I, that night, watching in May of 2022, watching those numbers come in, I knew those numbers were not right. And again, I wasn't the only one that saw it. So Reaching Across the Aisle was an initiative where myself and other Democrats, we reached across the aisle and met some Republicans who saw the same things we saw and knew that those numbers were not right here in Georgia in 2022. So we started to talk more, and we all pushed back, and we filed for our races to be recounted. And it was an initiative that we call Recount 2022, Recount Georgia 2022. And we asked that those races, that our races be recounted. And of course, all of us was denied. But we didn't stop there. We actually filed a lawsuit that was eventually dismissed. But we did not fight, knowing that the elections, something was wrong with the elections here in Georgia. We saw it in 2022. So Reaching Across the Aisle is an extension of that, where Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Independents, wherever you fall on the political spectrum, this is an opportunity for us to come together and have these conversations around election integrity. But if you know me, you know my intersection is election integrity, but reparations is what I run on, and reparations is the heart of me, because I believe that when we get this right as a country, as a nation, when we get this right, we repair the harm, and very intentionally repair the harm of those of us who are descendants of chattel slavery, not all Black people in America. But those of us who are descendants of chattel slavery specifically, if America can get this right, we can turn this whole country around and a lot of things would change. So again, my intersection is reparations and election integrity. So tonight I have an article that I want to share with you. This is an article about what's happening around election integrity right here in Georgia. So it's an article, if you don't know, and if most people aren't following what's happening, but there's a court case right now. And this is an article that I found that was actually sent to me. It says the jig is up, and it's in the Jumbotron. For those of you that are listening here in the space, it's in the Jumbotron above. It says the jig is up. And this is, says local reporter describes the election expert Haldeman breaking into the Dominion voting machine and changing vote totals during his Georgia testimony. So there's an actual court case around the machines and what's happening with our voting here in Georgia. And here's what it says. It says, an update: after speaking with election integrity expert Garland Favrito, we discovered the courtroom display was much more serious than originally reported. So the article is going to go in and explain what this display was. But J. Alex Haldeman demonstrated in court how Dominion machines were hacked and altered their tabulation. So says J. Alex Haldeman demonstrated in court how Dominion machines were hacked and altered their tabulation. So interesting explanation. Says on Friday in a federal court in Atlanta, University of Michigan professor of computer science and engineer J. Alex Haldeman testified in front of Judge Amy Totenberg's courtroom about the Dominion voting machines used in the Georgia elections since 2020. Says, as reported earlier during his testimony, Haldeman was able to hack a Dominion voting machine and change the tabulation in front of U.S. District Judge Amy Totenberg in the courtroom. In the courtroom, Haldeman used only a pen to change the vote totals. Goes on to say in this article, it says his testimony was a part of a long-running lawsuit by election integrity activists set as a bench trial. Says the plaintiff seeks to remove what they say are insecure voting machines in Georgia in favor of secure paper ballots. Says following the Gateway Pundit's explosive report on Saturday night, we spoke with Georgia reporter Amy Connor, who's been sitting in the courtroom during the trial for the past 2 weeks. The article goes on to say Amber confirmed what was reported earlier about Haldeman's demonstration live on how to hack a Dominion voting machine and change the totals using only a pen. In fact, Haldeman borrowed a pen from the defense attorney for his demonstration. The mainstream legacy news media has decided to ignore this historic case taking place in Georgia for some reason. And why is that? So the article is literally pointing out the fact that we here in Georgia have a whole case that's being adjudicated in court right now around election integrity. So in the article, it goes on to say, here's the background on the Haldeman report in the Curling versus State of Georgia case. It says in June of 2023, the Federal District Court for the Northern District of Georgia unsealed the 96-page Haldeman report, the security analysis of Georgia's ImageCast X-ballot marking devices. It says Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger has been hiding this report from the public for 2 years. The University of Michigan professor of computer science and engineering, J. Alex Haldeman, and security research and assistant professor at Auburn University, Drew Schringal, collaborated on the report where they discovered many exploitable vulnerabilities in the Dominion voting system, ImageCast X system. So far left Judge Amy Totenberg sealed and covered up the results of the investigation of Dominion voting machines in Georgia and sat on the report until this week. The report confirmed that votes can be altered in the Dominion voting machines. In fact, the report revealed that the Dominion software is vulnerable and can be hacked. Says following its release, the Vote of Georgia founder Garland Favrito joined Steve Bannon on the War Room to discuss the findings from the explosive report. So here in Georgia, there's a whole court case right now around election integrity that nobody is talking about. And again, I didn't know things were as bad as they were, but I knew something was wrong a long time ago, but didn't quite understand what I was seeing. I just couldn't put my finger on it. So in 2018, when Stacey Abrams said she didn't lose and never conceded to Brian Kemp, that was a sign there that something was wrong. And Fair Fight Georgia was all about fair elections here in Georgia. So there was already an initiative being pushed to address elections in Georgia. And again, when Stacey Abrams never conceded to Brian Kemp, we should have all known then that something was absolutely wrong. And I saw it, but wasn't quite clear what I was seeing. In 2020, when Donald Trump said he didn't lose, that's when, you know, everybody started to get in more of an uproar. Like, wait a minute. Stacey didn't say she didn't lose in 2018. Trump says he didn't lose in 2020. But in 2022, when I saw my numbers, now I'm not saying I won at all. I'm saying that I know I got more than what they said I had. I was clear about that. So this is where, again, for me, the rubber met the road. And I'm like, wait a minute here. What's going on with our elections here in Georgia? When it happened to me, that's when I realized there was something bigger at play here. So, yeah, this is serious business. And this will open the floodgates around the country for us to, as a nation, to address fair and free elections and making sure that we're not getting our candidates selected, but they're actually being elected. So I'm hopeful that this case will get some more publicity and we start talking about this. We actually have a video that we're going to put out this week, specific to election integrity, because both things are true. Voter suppression is absolutely real. And voter fraud is absolutely real. Both things are true, and both things are true at the same time. But we're not going to point the fingers, because that's what they've been doing. One side's been pointing the finger at the other, and they keep confusing us and making us fight when really the system is broken. And there's some hands and some people and some places at play in all of this that are manipulating the entire system. So this is the work that has to be done. Again, this is a court case that's happening right now in here in Georgia around election integrity that will definitely magnify all across the country. So this is the work, and we have to continue to address election integrity. So I have another article that I am going to share with you. I didn't put it in the Jumbotron, but I'm definitely going to share it with you. Again, you can find me at the intersection of reparations and election integrity. There's a lot of activists out here that are reparationists that have other issues that we address. I know our brother Mark Carter up in Chicago, you can find him at that intersection of reparations and immigration. But you can find me at that intersection of reparations and election integrity. We got so much work to do. We don't have the luxury of, staying in our corners. We got to fight on many fronts. And when you find us fighting on all these fronts, you definitely have to join us in this fight. I see you, Brother Jake. You definitely welcome to come off the mic and come up. Let me invite you up. I think I know how to do it. Invite to speak. You're more than welcome to come up. So I have an article that I want to share, and I'm going to open the floor up and we can have some discussion. So I just want to take a moment of silence for our brother Dexter King, one of the King children. We just found out earlier today that he has passed away. So God bless. We'll take a moment of silence. So God bless. God bless that family. So it's two children that have now passed away. Yolanda passed away, and now Dexter has passed away. So Martin the third is, and Bernice are still with us. So God bless them. I'm sure this is a very difficult time. So we'll keep the King family in our prayers. So I saw in reparations news today, I got my little updates and my alerts. Who has signed on Cori Bush's Reparations Now resolution? I saw that. So the article talks about how Washington, D.C., how Congresswoman Cori Bush has introduced a resolution to advance efforts to secure reparations for Black Americans. That's Ms. Cori Bush. And it is very vague, broad, Black Americans. So she's talking about this resolution, this Reparations Now resolution. So the article says Bush made international headlines when she introduced her historic Reparations Now resolution on May 17th of 2023. The article goes on to say it was endorsed by nearly 300 organizations, and H.R. 414 calls for the U.S. government to create a holistic reparations program to address the ongoing legacies of chattel slavery, Jim Crow, and present anti-Black policies. It says the measure also states that the federal government should be prepared to invest at least $14 trillion to eliminate the racial wealth gap. And that's the bill that was, the resolution that was signed by and put out by sponsored by Miss Corey Bush. So talks about the actual sponsors who have signed on to this Reparations Now resolution is Al Green, the Democrat out of Texas, Ayanna Pressley, the Democrat out of Massachusetts, Barbara Lee out of California, of course, Miss Corey Books, Delia Ramirez out of Illinois, Dwight Evans out of Pennsylvania, Greg Caesar out of Texas, Ilion Omar out of Minnesota, Jamal Bowman out of New York, Jonathan Jackson out of Illinois, Rashida Tlaib, I'm probably saying her name wrong, y'all will correct me, Michigan, Summer Lee out of Pennsylvania, Yvette Clark, Democrat out of New York. So those are the legislators that have signed on to Mrs. Corey Books' Reparations Now bill. So interesting, that came up in my alerts today. Another thing that came up was Spelman's received $100 million. Maybe many of you have heard about this, that they got $100 million as a gift. Thought that was quite interesting where it came from. I'm sure y'all, there's some insight from those in the room. Y'all might know who gave Spelman this $100 million and what's behind it all. So I saw that in my feed today. But also I saw where Mr. Jamal Bowman of New York is calling for reparations as well. He just introduced a $14 trillion reparations program. He introduced a bill. So it's interesting to see how these legislators now on the heels of this election year, what they'll do to get our votes. I see somebody is, yeah, you can come on up. And y'all can come up. I'm going to stop talking in just a bit. Y'all know I like to hear. So I also have another article that I was reading today, how Nikki Haley and how she made the comment about this country. It was, the article goes on to talk about when asked by host Brian Kilmeade, y'all correct me on his name, if the GOP is a racist party, Haley made a broader point that the U.S. has never been a racist country. So I was reading that article. She says, we're not a racist country, Brian. We've never been a racist country, she said. Our goal is to make sure that today is better than yesterday. Are we perfect? No. But our goal is to always make sure we try and be more perfect every day that we can. So I saw where they was giving her the blues. I might be a little late with that, but I'm just kind of catching up, y'all. I've been catching up with what's happening. So you can come off the bus, right, Brother Jay. Welcome to the stage.
Peace and blessings. How are you doing?
Good. Welcome. Welcome, family.
Okay. You said reaching across the aisles, Republican, Democrat, Libertarians. What you mean by that? What's the sentiment?
Say, ask that. What do I mean? Ask that last part of the question.
No, what is the sentiment behind you?
Reaching across the aisle. I thought you knew my story. So reaching across the aisle, for those that are just coming into the space, is an initiative where in 2022, we saw so many discrepancies in that race. That was the race where I ran for my fifth race, running, and I ran for the second time for the U.S. Senate. And the numbers here in Georgia all of us were clear. On election night in 2022, those numbers were absolutely wrong. I know that my numbers, when I saw the numbers coming in, I'm like, I knew it was wrong. So many Democrats in 2022, we saw that the numbers in our elections were wrong. And we reached across the aisle and we got with some Republicans who saw the same thing. In 2018, when Stacey Abrams said she didn't lose, she probably didn't. In 2020, when Donald Trump said he didn't lose, he probably didn't. And in 2022, when we saw those numbers, I was very clear that there were problems with our elections here in Georgia. So reaching across the aisle is an initiative where we try to find the center around election integrity. And we have these hard conversations. And I've been hosting here on, used to host on the Clubhouse app, Brother Jake, until the app took a, I don't know what happened. It just died. So now I've been hosting here 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here on X. So I think I answered the question.
Okay. And what is your stance as far as Trump Are you in agreement with Trump? And do you see the Democratic Party as being more of a socialist and communist party?
I see both of them as being compromised. And I see that we can't play party politics, and we have to find, we got to play politics, but not party politics. So that means we need to find who is on our team in this moment and who's going to support what we need. And that's how we play politics. We find the center and we play the game. And if Trump is talking what we need him to talk, then we team Trump. If the Democrats are talking what we need, then we team Democrats. We need to follow policy and not people. We need to follow policy and not people and not party.
Well, the Democrats already showing us that they don't give a damn about Black Americans. And Trump is actually talking far as mass deportation of illegal immigrants, that's definitely a tangible. But and then as with that, he's also talking about a platinum plan that's gonna give us businesses, jobs, education, what else? Healthcare and stuff like that. So that's a tangible as well within that. But we definitely need reparations with it. But there's no plan that the Democratic Party put out that's going to benefit Black Americans. They've been neglecting us and looking over us as they fund these illegal immigrants over us, the people who've been voting for them for the past 60 years.
So that means we don't go back to the polls and vote blue no matter who. We don't do that. Absolutely. We're not going to do that going into 2024.
I mean, the Black Americans who standing on Black American business and putting our lineage first and stomping for reparations, we know that. But it's about us, reaching out and getting the masses on board with moving based on policies and tangibles.
I agree. I'm again, we're playing politics. We're not beholden to a party. We're not beholden to people. We're playing politics. So who's going to do what we need done? And that's who we rock with, period.
One person that I see right now in the makings that's able to do that will be Donald Trump.
Then we team Trump. Again, we're not beholden to party, and we don't need to be beholden to people. Is if he has a platform and it's meeting our needs, then that's how we play the game. This generation of us, we are very clear what has been done to us, and we're going to move very different from the way our elders have moved and our ancestors have moved. So, yeah, brother, I'm with you. You're not going to get no pushback from me at all.
Yeah, I mean, especially with what's going on, we need mass deportation ASAP. You know what I mean? That's what he promised to do. And I believe that he's going to do it because, for the most part, as a president, he always did what he said he was going to do. And then on top of that, me as being a small business owner, business was way better up under Trump than up under Biden. Everything went up. We see the Democratic plan. What they're doing is just to benefit foreigners and illegals. Replace Americans, not just Black Americans, but white Americans as well.
And I agree. You're right. You're nailing it. And we're clear. And we see it at the gas pump. We've seen it in the grocery stores. This economy sucks right now. This is terrible. We're all feeling it. There's nobody not feeling this. And if they say they're not, they're lying. Everybody's feeling this. So we have to do something different. And because what we have is not working, what they're doing now is not working.
So we're on the same page, brother. I see some others have made it to the space. You are more than welcome to come up. Thank you, Jake, for joining me. I thought you knew me. I know who you are. I've been following you for quite a while.
I thought you knew me. I know who you are. Oh. You from Georgia. I seen your video too that you had put out when you were speaking on reparations as well. I know you.
I know you.
I came in your space a couple of times. You came in mine a couple of times as well. I'm familiar with you.
Yeah, I'm reparations through and through. You know, I'm coming to the table with us first, and then we're gonna work out the rest. But I'm a reparationist, and I've been in this fight for a long time. I run for office not one time, not two times, not three times, not four times. I've run for office five times consecutively. And sometimes it's not always about the win. Sometimes it's pushing back on the people, the policies, and letting them know that we're here and we're going to be heard. So I don't see any of the races that I haven't won as a loss at all. I see them as we're pushing this ball up a hill. And it's a lot of heavy lifting. A lot of us got to do our work. I think about it took 100 years, you know, for us to get from being freed, quote unquote, from slavery to having the right to vote. That was 100 years worth of work. So we're doing our work, all of us. So I appreciate all the spaces that I see here on this app. I see a lot of you putting in that work. Keep talking, keep doing what we're doing. And we keep pushing back and we're going to win. I feel like we're winning. I think that's why, you know, many people now fight us the way they do, because I feel like we are winning. I think we're closer than we've ever been. I think we're more powerful than we know. And I think we're winning, honestly. I really do.
We're absolutely winning. That's why we're getting so much pushback on the way that in the direction that we're going for is lineage-based reparations, gatekeeping our culture and our history, delineation, where we're getting a lot of. So we're definitely going in the right direction. You know what I mean? And one of the main things that we got to do is secure our neighborhoods. And that's mass deportation, because since these illegal immigrants been coming into our neighborhood, crime went up 200%. And you know who they're going to blame that on? Us. So, yeah, these people got to go back home, and not to count the fact that it's too expensive keeping them there, and they taking away from our reparation money. So spend hundreds of billions of dollars on these illegal immigrants is to take away from our reparation. And so when we start asking for our just dues, they're going to be like, oh, we don't got it. No, these people got to go home.
Well, it's going to take an administration that's willing to do it. And we need change. Yep, we absolutely got to have something different. Again, we're feeling it. All of us are feeling it. We got to do something different. This is terrible. This is terrible. We're watching this global agenda. It's terrible. It is America first. Look, let's put what they say on the plane. Put that oxygen mask on yourself first. It is America first. So put this mask on us. Let's take care of home. And if what we can do to help others, we will. But we got to take care of home first. I figured you had something to say, Jake. I was giving you the mic.
We ain't helping nobody but Americans at this point. Everybody hold their own nuts. And we don't, especially as Black Americans, we don't have the luxury to flee our home. And we always been 10 toes down. So I don't feel sorry for anybody who's fleeing their homeland instead of making their situation better. We got a history of making our situation better within our homeland without fleeing, and people got to just stand on their own and hold their own nuts, and we do ours like we've been doing.
What a way to explain that, Jake. I couldn't find that emoji fast enough to laugh. But you're right. I mean, you're right. Like, we don't have the luxury of running. Where are we going to run to? We ain't running. We ain't built like that. You know, we ran from the from the South to the North, but hell, we didn't leave America. Well, most of us didn't. There's some people that went on to Canada, but the majority of us, we stayed right here in the U.S. So, yeah, I'm with you, Jake. We're not leaving. This is our home, and many of us are. I'm still right here in Georgia, native, never left. So it's so much work that has to be done in the South. This is still the old South too. Like there's still like this, and I struggle with describing it because I don't want to offend anybody, but there's still like this mentality that lives here that is obvious when you get outside of Atlanta, because Atlanta ain't Georgia. Atlanta is its own world here in the state. But if you get outside of Atlanta and you go into some of these rural areas, you really are in the old South. And there's a lot of things that have not changed. And the fear is still real. The fear of white people, white America, and the way things have been done, all that is like alive here in Georgia. And it's going to take many of you to come back to the South. And those of us who see it, know it, and young enough to and willing to fight, we have to address it in a different kind of way. So the fight continues, Brother Jake. It's kind of hard to describe if you're not from the South. If there's anybody in the space that lives in the South and can put some words to it, come on up. You're welcome to come to the stage and join the conversation. But there's still so much work to do here, Brother Jake, that, ooh.
No, I say race is racism everywhere. You know, it's probably like that air of thick racism in the South opposed to in the North. But I mean, anywhere you go, there you are, pretty much. I much rather that outright racism instead of that underhanded racism that goes on up North. You know, Malcolm said a long time ago, I must respect the man who let me know where they stand, even if they wronged, and come to me as an angel and ask them to devil. And that's another way that these liberals, these Democrats be playing. You know what I mean? We know the Republicans is racist. However, the Democrats disguise as being our friend to put the knives in our back.
You're right. They play nice, don't they? They play nice with us. You're right. And it's so sad because they play nice with us and we're just a loving people. It bothers me because it's like, I know who we, as a Black woman, I know who we are. We are a loving, kind, we're just beautiful people. And they play on that. Many, many, many people play on that. And then some white people, honestly, just don't know no better. Like they're so caught in their whiteness that they don't know any better. So the work continues.
Yeah, well, and what's going on right now, these people, especially the white people, they don't have the time or the luxury to continue to be racist over Black Americans, because there's efforts of replacing them as there's efforts of replacing us. So they better start focusing on their real enemy, and that's foreign, and these people, foreigners that infiltrated the government. That's what they need to worry about. But they got more enough on their plate than be worrying about Black Americans now.
Oh, you're right. Now that right there is a whole conversation, I think, because they now recognize that what they did to us is now being done to them. And if they don't align themselves, and that's why this title is like so timely, I think, and all that we went through to get to where we are with election integrity and then reaching across the aisle, because if they don't come together with us, they're not going to make it. And they know it. But this time, as we walk, if we walk this out together, Black America and white America, you're not going to just use us to
save yourselves. That ain't going to happen. Not on our watch. You're not going to get us to the to this point where, you know, we're you're so kind and we're on the same page. You're not going to get us there and not give us something for this journey. And you're not giving us something that you don't owe us. You're doing right by us. So you're going to do right by us on this journey. We're going to work together to save America. But damn it, you're going to do right by us. And that's how I approach this situation. It's like, okay, I say my intersection is reparations and election integrity. And I want to see this country get this right with elections because we have to get this right. But as we walk this out, we want you to pay this debt too.
And I have made a recent post probably like a half hour ago or so. And the post was, because I see white people doing their white thing as far as on the on the patriot side of things, and they recognize that America is possibly brought and sold with people with that have infiltrated the fabrics of the government. So I said to myself, you know, well, in the tweet that said, as long as they doing what they got to do on their side of the tracks, we do what we got to do as Black Americans on our side of your track. Shit, who knows? We may have to come together to save America. You know what I mean? But that's still up in the air. But that idea definitely rings to be true. Seeing that we're fighting foreign and domestic enemies at this time.
Yeah, it's going to take all of us true Americans to do this. I get it. But again, this is where we are negotiating. We ain't going to do this because we don't have nothing to lose. What did Trump say? Didn't Trump say that? What do we have to lose? He was right. We have nothing to lose. When you already at the bottom, what you going to do? I'm already on the bottom. So we have nothing to lose. And if we're going to turn this country around, if America's going to get out of this situation that it's in, that is going to take you doing right by Black Americans. Those of us who are descendants specifically, not just all of us, but specifically those of us who are descendants, you must start there. And you can help the rest of the Black people. We cool, but you're going to help us first. First. So see, we got a few people in the space. I'm going to reset real quick. I got about 19 more minutes. I usually shut the room down at the top of the hour. So I am Tamara Johnson Shealy. I want to thank Brother Jake for joining me in this great conversation this evening. This is Reaching Across the Aisle. And I'm here Monday, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Reaching Across the Aisle is an initiative on the heels of election integrity here in Georgia, where in the my 2020 race to the United States Senate, myself and other Democrats, we reached across the aisle to some Republicans to address the discrepancies. That's such a nice way to say that the numbers was wrong as hell here in Georgia. They were wrong. Those numbers were not right and we were clear. So we reached across the aisle and we addressed the discrepancies in the 2022 election. But again, it goes our history with elections and the numbers not being correct goes far back. Again, I noticed it in 2018 with Stacey Abrams when she said that she didn't lose that governor's race. And you got to remember, Brian Kemp remained in office as Secretary of State running for governor. Damn, that was a move like no other. I don't know if anybody ever was that gangster. That was gangster. And then in 2020, when President Trump said he didn't lose, y'all, there was probably some truth to that too. But in 2022, when I saw the numbers come in my race and in races across the state here in Georgia, when not one, let me tell you this, not across the state, on the Democrat and the Republican primary in 2022, not one incumbent from the top of the ballot to the lowest on the ballot. Not one incumbent lost their seat in the entire state. That is mathematically improbable. Mathematically improbable. So we're playing some games here in Georgia. And if you look up at the Jumbotron, there's an article, there's a whole court case right now here in the federal court in Georgia right now around election integrity, around the machines. And they can prove that these machines, and there's something going on with our elections. So this verdict is in the making. And we have to be mindful that we're moving into this election season. We want to make sure that our candidates are elected and not selected, not just here in Georgia, but across this nation. We want to make sure that somebody's not playing with the paper and somebody's not pulling the trigger on these machines. So we got to be 10 toes down with election integrity. Again, you can find me at the intersection of reparations and election integrity. And again, we don't have the liberty right now as activists all across this country. We got to find what we're passionate about. Most of us here in this space, I see you, are reparationists. We're fighting with everything we got for our repair. But there's some other intersections where we can find some allies, because that's what I do. I find allies because there's people in these others with these other initiatives that can support us in our fight for reparations. So we're playing politics, Jake, right now. Again, it's not about the people. It's not about these damn parties. To hell with these parties. It's about the policies. And we're not taking no for an answer. Again, if this country is going to, things are going to turn around, we come into the table with reparations, period. Got about 15 more minutes before I close the space. I see you down there. Come on up, Heavenly. I see you. Protocol, welcome to the space, my brother Protocol. Y'all have to follow him. He's a conservative. I tell you, I've met him. Let me tell you a funny story for those of you who hadn't ever heard this story. I met him, one of our, a Republican white gentleman introduced us. And the gentleman, we actually met for lunch. And the gentleman walked away and left me at the table with Mr. Protocol. And I asked him, because he's a Republican, I asked him straight up, I said, "What you think about reparations?" And this brother said, looked at me and said, "Cut the check." I could have fell out of my chair. It's like, all right, this is a Republican, all 10 toes down for reparations. So has been a pleasure to meet him and get to know him and be in this fight for what is right for, again, those of us who are descendants of chattel slavery. Brother Jake.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening.
Okay.
But I'm listening.
Okay. Well, anybody in the spaces want to come on up, you are more than welcome. Again, we were talking about election integrity. I saw again where Cori Bush and then this brother Jamal Bowman, they're trying to get some headlines with this $14 trillion reparations initiative that they've introduced. So I'm gonna read the article. It says Democrat Rep. Jamal Bowman of New York is calling for reparations from the federal government. It says despite the massive price tag of reparations, $14 trillion, Bowman argued there's a way to pay for it without raising taxes on anyone. Goes on to say, when COVID was destroying us, we invested in the American people in a way that kept the economy afloat. That's what Bowman told the Journal News. It says the government can invest the same way in reparations without raising taxes on anyone. Where did the money come from? He added, we spent it into existence. Says Bowman is among 14 Democrats supporting H.R. 414. It's a resolution introduced last year that recognizes the U.S. has a moral and legal obligation to provide reparations for the enslavement of Africans and its lasting harm on the lives of millions of Black people in the United States. Now, y'all hear where he got it wrong, where they getting it wrong, talking about reparations for the enslavement of Africans and its lasting harms on the lives of millions of Black people. We need them to speak more specifically, but they're not there and they're playing politics. So we get it. We'll meet them where they are.
It can't be race-based. It has to be lineage-based for Black Americans, because one thing with that, it would be shot down by the Supreme Court. They have to be lineage-based reparations. It can't be race-based.
Exactly.
And again, that's them playing politics. We know. Look, they think we don't know. We know. Go ahead, Brother Protocol. Welcome to the stage.
Peace to the space, man. Hope everybody is doing good. Hope we all had a dope weekend and an awesome Monday to start off your week, man. Keep the dream alive. Keep fighting. I had to get away because you said something that I just had to speak on right quick. My baby's up front running crazy, so I'm glad we ended in about 10 minutes. Bowman and Bush and these people with this reach for reparations, like the fact that it's a resolution, right? If anybody knows anything about politics, which I hope we're all adults, we're paying taxes, I hope you do understand this game of politics to this extent, to a resolution, an act, and an amendment, all right? Resolutions is just giving someone flowers. It's just saying something. An act is something to be done temporarily, and an amendment is forever unless it's removed from the Constitution. But it takes literally an act of Congress to get it removed from the Constitution. When talking about reparations, and last night I had a beautiful debate. If you guys can go on my page and you might want to check it out, I gave a very good argument on this of how this country, when founded, was grievances being expressed. Like its whole base is when someone felt as though they were treated wrong, had it expressly written, and then moved forward on it. Since that's the basis of this country, we, the people who come from the direct lineage of chattel slavery, have that right to say, hey, bro, we were done wrong. Not only from when you guys first got here, because that was already said two times in the writing of your Declaration of Independence, but moving forward in the debate of the 3/5 compromise, in moving forward in what led to the Civil War, in a sense, because it really was the economy. It was slavery, but it was the economy of slavery and how they were outdoing the other. The fact that you guys had it written on ledgers, how much we were worth, and then released us to the wild and then say, hey, do whatever you do. And then we do what we do. And then you move forward to destroy it for another, I don't know, I would arguably say 200 years. So from the 1860s, 1870s, you know what I'm saying, up until now, we still got Black businesses being destroyed and sneaky little practices, but they still do it. But we had it in the 40s and the 50s and the 30s and the 20s, where they literally were burning down Black businesses because, I don't know, Tulsa, Oklahoma was outdoing your the Greenwood neighborhood of Tulsa, Oklahoma was outdoing the rest of Tulsa, right? We know that you guys did this, and we just want you to address that you did it, address that you screwed us over. I'm not going to curse. I'm going to respect the spaces. Address that you screwed us over, and then say, hey, you know what? Yeah, you do deserve this. You're right. You do this. So we're going to put this amendment on paper, and it's going to be what it is. And red, whites, and whoever else, I know you may feel some type of way, but listen, it's not really your money. I mean, technically it's your money, but that money was going to be gone regardless. Whether I get it, your descendant of chattel slavery, Black neighbor, or the Ukrainians, the money gone regardless. So at least let the money be spent where you could see some right being done. And then you don't have to cry about Tyrone being from a fatherless home, because now Pop's got some money. He can take care of his family. And then we can have interstate trade and inner neighborhood trade and inner city trade. I don't hate you. I just want what's properly mine. My family got their houses taken from them. And you know how much passing down property and using property as a leverage point to actually make money and establish generational wealth can happen. So let's just cut the bull, address it for what it is, and let's just get past it. this Bowman and this bull crap that him and Bush is trying to pull off, that's just semantics because they know they finna lose the vote. Gotta do something to keep people, you know what I'm saying, sipping on the drink to come on and stay voting for them. But they know it's over. They know it's done. That's why they're doing everything they can do to 45 to stop them from going through with the win. And we'll talk later. She is completely right, guys, about Georgia with how, you know, going into rural areas, how some things are like really, really old. Like there are a lot of cities like Hazelhurst and Waycross and Bagsley that literally looks like, damn, boy, this is straight out of Maryberry. Like, I am waiting for Andy Griffin to walk out at any moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, it literally looks like that in the middle of Georgia. Atlanta, Savannah, somewhat Albany, Macon, Columbus. Like, there's little areas that kind of look like that. But the rest of it is, like, definitely grown. And they're coming forward into, you know what I'm saying, new time, new age. And the election? Yeah, they stole that shit. They stole that shit. They stole it with Stacey Abrams because she tried to cheat, but she ain't realized that she was going against the wrong person because that nigga could cheat too. They turned around and they cheated just like she said in 2022. Those numbers, like, everybody know damn well that those numbers was not right. Like, it just did not work. And it came out. If you look into Michelle Long Spears out of DeKalb County, you can go on her Twitter right now, Michelle Long Spears. And if you just scroll down a few tweets, you'll see where she stated that, you know, hey, I only got 3,000 votes. I got 0 votes. And out of 40 precincts, only 4 of them said I had votes in them. All the other 36 said I had 0 votes, to include the one that me and my husband go and vote to. And then they turned her votes around. Like, she went from 3,031 to like 6,000 votes. Took votes from another person and all. So, like, and that just happened in 2022. So, all that, oh, our elections are safe and all that shit. No, that's bullshit. And these niggas be lying and they be stealing. And I see somebody got their hand raised. So, I'm going to go ahead and drop and land my plane because you got 5 minutes left in the space. Anybody, if you want to talk more, you can follow me.
Thank you, Protocols. I was hitting those emojis. Rottweiler, welcome to the stage.
Yeah, what's going on? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Shout out to you in the room. I just wanted to say this. I'm from Georgia. And when I talk to Republicans about reparations, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. I'm here in Warner Robins, Georgia, Houston County, Tamara. And you know this is the richest county in Georgia. And it's 99% white businesses, Asian, Hispanic, Indian. There's hardly no black businesses here in this county. But when I talk to white folks, Republicans about reparations, it's almost like they would rather put up with illegal immigration than to give us reparations. That's what I'm seeing. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. And that's the education, and that's the it's gonna take, Rottweiler, it's gonna take like the younger white people in our rural areas to hear us differently because they like, you know, they like us more than their grandparents did. So, you know, a lot of them, I see a little more mixing of the races in some of our rural areas now. So there's some chance with the younger people in our rural areas, but you're right. It's real hard to get them past because, again, this is still the old South and black people are supposed to be subservient. And the thought of us getting ahead or having to, you know, an opportunity beyond them, a lot of them can't, they can't do it. So, Rottweiler, I'm with you. Go ahead, Jake. I see you off your mic. Go ahead.
I wasn't off my mic.
Okay.
You go ahead.
All right. Well, I see we have a few more people in the space. You are welcome to come up. We got about 3 more minutes until the top of the hour. I close the room at 8 o'clock. So anything you want to say, you want to come on up to the stage and give some parting words. But yeah, we still have a lot of work to do here in Georgia. There's still a lot of work to do across this nation. And right now is the most opportune time. It's like it's hot. It's like, this is it. This is our opportune time when, you know, this nation is on fire. Immigration is out of control, out of control. We got people coming in from all over the world, not just from the border. And you think these are just Hispanic? No, 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 no. You got people coming in from all over the world through that border right now. And it's a threat to our national security. You know, it's a threat to us specifically as a people, you know, because they're not taking these people and putting them in the best neighborhoods. They're bringing them to our hoods, to our neighborhoods, to rural Georgia. And I'm from rural Georgia, and I've been down, and I'm like trying to get my folks to see. Y'all don't see where these people come from. Who are these people that done bought some land behind us and around us? Who are these people? Who let these people in to buy this much land around us? What are they doing on this land? So we got to be mindful that they kind of hiding out in some of these rural areas. You know, in the cities, they can't really hide. But in these rural areas, they get enough land. We don't know what the hell is going on. So this is a total threat to our national security. This is, a total threat to us as a people, to this economy. We need to figure this out and figure this out now.
Well, if they're illegal and they brought land, all that land is going to be confiscated once Trump get in office.
Again, we're not going to the polls and voting blue, no matter who. Not with things being the way they are. It's just not happening. It won't happen. And if 2024 is going to be a ride that we will never forget. I don't think any of us, I think 2022 was a ride, but I think 2024 is going to be a ride we will not forget. So let's make sure that, again, that we are on the right side of all of this. Continue to organize. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, the Democrats know they done. They're pandering to our children. They're pandering. They know that they lost the black vote, and they also that's why they're trying to use the illegal immigrants to vote now. You know, they got to turn their eye towards the illegal immigrants and try to get them in position of voting to replace the vote that they lost with us. That's why they allowing these people to flood in like that, and trying to fight for them to be able to vote, because they know they're not fucking with us. Black Americans is recognizing and seeing it, and a lot of Black Americans is definitely going for Trump based on not just the platinum plan that he put up, but mass deportation, because these people have to be deported. It ain't like they were sending doctors and lawyers and architects here. These people is coming. That's the scum. I mean, pedophiles, rapists, cartel, MS-13, thieves of all sorts. That's why crime within our neighborhoods went up 200% since these people was flooded in.
Hey, Tamara, can I say something before you close out right quick?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I don't have a problem with, you know, y'all voting for the Republicans or Donald Trump. I don't have a problem with that. I'm an old school dude. You know what I'm saying? I voted Democrat for 20 years, and I sat back and watched Democrats do absolutely nothing for black folks. And I just don't see Republicans doing nothing for me right now. But if you want to vote Republican, that's fine. I'm not voting for nobody. Period. Because here in Georgia, and you and Tamara, you know this. Brian Kemp is an old school ass racist, bro. He's an old school racist.
Mass deportation is intangible. If they're talking about deportation, that's intangible. Getting these people up out of our neighborhoods. And not only that's going to make our neighborhood safer, that's going to bring back jobs. So that's the tangible. And then on top of that, what Trump was talking about as far as the platinum plan, I can post it on my timeline. Matter of fact, it's on my timeline already. That, and I don't think that he'll be against reparations, and seeing that the fact he acknowledged that this country was built by Black Americans.
So this is to be continued, right? We're going to watch. We're going to see who, you know, how this all unfolds. Again, 2024 is going to be this year where we in for a serious ride, but I'm ready. I'm ready. So I want to thank y'all for joining me in this space tonight. Again, I'm here Mondays, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This podcast is recorded and it's a part of my podcast series, Reaching Across the Aisle. So you can find me at reachingacrosstheaisle.com and there it is. .info. I'm sorry. Reachingacrosstheaisle.info is the actual podcast. So this will be added to the podcast and I will see you back here next Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Y'all have a great week. Peace, love, and reparations, y'all.
Now, the title of this book will grab you. It is Faith, Purpose, and Politics, Running the Race of My Life. Immediately, I was captivated. Tell me about how you chose your title.
Oh, you know, I don't think I chose this title. It just came to me. And because I know I was in the race of my life.
When we come to Washington in this campaign, we're coming to get our check. Check.
Young prodigies. Grow.
Free. Reparations, Martin said we coming for our check. Reparations, say it loud. 1, 2, mic check. Cream. Cash rules everything around me. Dream. My legacy, you can't stop me. Coming for our 40 acres, H.I. 40 in our paper.
Kicking the door. Coming for our 40 acres and more. I'm 6.4. No, we fought the Civil War.
We came from the poor.
Free, start from the bottom, we still on the floor. We pray to the Lord.
Amen.
Picking a cotton, our fingers are sore.
Straight out the underground, escaping from slavery. The only cemeteries that we had were the trees. Watching our bodies while they glow in the breeze. Thinking to the north side to get free.
That way came from slavery.
Where's all the man who wants to sit on me?
Put her head on the door, with the world won't scheme.
Stick to the north side to get free.
Reparations, Martin said we coming for our check. Reparations, say it loud. 1, 2, my check. Green. Cash rules everything around me.
Dream.
My legacy, you can't stop me. Coming for our 40.
Yeah.
Acres, H.I. 40 and our
look,
paper.
We taking them back. Putting Pettus Bridge on a map. Police came with the strap. That Sunday was bloody, no cap.
Some capping.
Speaking of cap.
Kaepernick taking knees at the flag. Where my justice at? We built this nation, better give me them racks.
All fat.
Just imagine a little bit of gasoline. Four girls got bombed back in 63.
400 years, it was still ain't free.
Reparations, Martin said we coming for our check. Reparations, say it loud. 1, 2, mic check.
Green.
Cash rules everything around me.
Dream.
My legacy, you can't stop me.
Coming for our 40 acres, H.I. 40 and our paper.
We stuck in the trap with no shoes, trying to pull up bootstraps. Increasing the gap. Wealth got bigger, so we had to adapt. Discriminated because we black. I know it worth more than I know it's a fact. They trying to feel scraps. Strike me on board so we can't come back.
30 years ago on April 19, Youssef and Tyrone came to court.
If it happened to them, think it happened to me. Screaming's already.